Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm delighted to be here with you. I know it is cold all over the country, and we're getting a little chill here in South Florida, but it's still beautiful, still grand. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us again for another Hot Topic. It is cold here in the Midwest. We didn't get a lot of snow like they're getting on the East Coast, but it is cold. And I'm glad to hear you're getting a little chill in the South Florida.
Well, it's
then
welcome.
It's
good to have a little breeze every now and then, a change of climate, but it's nothing like South Florida. I'm from New York. Well, actually, I'm from South Carolina, but was raised in New York, and here I'm settled in South Florida. But I think out of all the three places, I like South Florida. I raised my children here. My son just celebrated his 32nd birthday. Woohoo! I'm so proud of my man child. And it is just amazing to sit back and see how four children, two boys, two girls, how they're flourishing into their own adulthood and doing their own thing, and it's just an awesome thing. We have a special guest tonight. Mona Wimbley is on the phone. Mona, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so very much for having me. Thank you, ladies.
Well, I'm excited about it. Last week we were talking about single, but are you satisfied? And we had so much feedback, and I got emails in Texas, you know, where they wanted us to continue this on the radio show. So tonight I said, well, let's continue with single and satisfied, because there are a lot of ladies that aren't trying to be married. They are trying to build a career like I did for almost 18 years before I did it again. I was so busy building my career, I had no idea that much time had passed until I went to apply for the marriage license certificate, and I was like, wow, it's been a long time since I've been divorced. But I was enjoying it, and I was satisfied. The only time, like I shared with the listening audience last week, was the only time I felt a little bit uncomfortable, a little kind of shady, was when it came time to go to a black tie event. I didn't want to go with a girlfriend. Would have been nice to have a male species on my arm and not a girlfriend. So can you identify with that, Mona?
Yes, I can. Yes, I truly can. Yes. Trying to do, you know, on my job, you know, 9 to 5, and then trying to build your business. Woo-wee. I guess I'm like you. I have an older adult child that's 25, so I got that side out of the way. But you're so wrapped up in your busy day-to-day that you really, you know, you really don't notice. And you use this time to really and truly work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. How is that working on yourself? Because, like with me, it was a process, because I went through 19 years of marriage, and then I had to reacquaint myself with Valerie. What was Valerie into? What did Valerie like? How did Valerie like dressing? How did Valerie like, combing our hair, wearing our makeup. I had to reinvent myself and be acquainted also with the reality of who I was before I got married, because I found that I had died in the marriage. I diminished so that he could rise. And, you know, the word of God, you know, tells about he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtain a favor of the Lord. Well, when he married me, I was ready to be a wife. So I was ready to submit. But, you know, when we're growing up in the church, they only give you partial things. You know, they say you see in truth. So some things weren't taught. So as we talk about moving forward and being single and looking for that soulmate, what does something like that look like with you, Mona?
Well, you know what? My experience, I look at it exactly how you did. You know, I was a young mother in college, and I raised my son in college, and my sorority sisters and my friends helped me to raise my son while I was in school, so I was mother. And then I graduated, and I was on the grind trying to, you know, be able to take care of my son. And then when I finally got married, you know, you think that you're prepared for the marriage piece. And then dated for 8 years, married for two. You think you have to kind of regroup yourself to be able to function after the divorce. Mm. And, you know, then you go back into full motherhood role. And then, you know, when my son went off to college, I still had not found out who I was. And I tell somebody, it's so funny, that I really didn't discover Shimona until I was in my 40s. That's crazy. That sounds like, and you know.
No, it's not crazy.
Oftentimes as women, you know, we always say, We portray, and we may really truly believe this, that I know who I am and I love myself. And when everything was removed from me, my son moved away, he got married, and I found myself by myself, so I had to learn who I was. Like, who was I really? And I truly thought I loved myself until I hired. Well, I went to a relationship seminar, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go to this, but I really don't need it. So I finished in 2 days. It was like it was a retreat, and it was an eye-opening as to learning your different love languages and things like that. And the one key thing that resonated with me and the other 30 women that was in that session was the facilitator asked each of the women that were there to think of a phrase that they would love to hear. So each of the women, they thought of their phrase, and she had the 30 women to go. She divided them up, like 15 and 15. So you would stand there, and then the other 15 women would walk past you, and they would say those things, like, I am worthy, I love you. And the whole room was bawling, from the people that were saying it and speaking it out of their mouth to the women that was receiving it. And that truly transformed my life, and I was like, whoa. So it allowed me to really open up to see, you know, well, Mona, maybe you need to do a reassessment of yourself. Do you truly love yourself? And then at the end, they offered this seminar where you can actually go on and take the course, and I was like, I really don't need that. But I went ahead and signed up for it, and lo and behold, it totally changed my life. So it was, you know, helping you to identify those core things deep down inside that were hindering you from truly being able to love you and to be able to receive that love back. So, yes, being single, you have to take that time to really get to know yourself.
Okay. So you said that your son went off to college. Your son went off to college, and you were like, woohoo, I'm by myself. So it's amazing how when we're mothers that we wrap and engulf ourselves into our children, and then we wake up one morning, and then we have a aha moment like, hey, I'm alone. There's nobody for me to take care of.
Yes. Yes, that was.
Now, Shirley, I'm sure you can identify with that as well.
Oh, of course. But, you know,
But in my case and everything, you know, I've been single several times. And what is going on with that part of it, being single and raising sons at that too, that's a thing that I have to, you know, share with you. When you're raising your sons and you're single, there's certain things we as single ladies have to really be careful about. And that dating part, that seems to be on the back burner because we are grinding to build that career, which is what I did a lot. I felt myself, especially when I was working, when I had my sports management company, I did a lot of work with people overseas. So I was so busy into my work with that, that, you know, because they're on a different time zone and I'm working all times, the hours of the night and the wee hours of the morning, you lose track of time. And before you know it, you've been single for a while. And it's not even about going on a date or anything. It's about getting that career set. And then being into sports management, for me, being a black female, you know, managing athletes' careers and everything, the first thing they're going to look at, she's a woman. And she's a black woman. What does she know about sports? But I was quite successful in doing so, that even some of the NBA agents contacted me to help them with their clients because I had a gift, and that gift was I didn't need a stranger. And I could even talk to them over the phone and convince them that I had the best player and the right player for their team because I did something that a lot of the agents didn't do. I watched films from the teams and then watched films of my guys and see how they would fit into their program. And I shared it with my guys and had them to train for those positions. So they liked the players that I sent them because I took that extra time to, you know, investigate and to put it out there.
Awesome. We're talking about single and satisfied. And last week, as I said, we covered single, but are you satisfied being single? And, you know, like I said, it was very controversial after the show because I had people, I said, like, okay, you're listening to the radio show. I'm opening up the lines. How come you don't give your comments? But if you want to chime in tonight on Hot Topics from the Soul, you can press 1 and I will put you in queue. If you have a question or comment, press 1 and I will put you in queue. If you want to talk about being single and are you satisfied, caller 2230, you're live.
And Captain Mark is in the house.
Hey, Captain Mark, how are you?
Very
Hi, Captain
good. How
Mark.
Are you, ladies? All of you ladies, how are you doing? What an interesting topic.
Oh, well, hi there. Goodness. I haven't heard your voice in a while.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I do listen. I chime in as often as I can. Sometimes I hear some of the show. Sometimes I hear all of it. But Captain Mark's always there trying to learn something. And you always
well, I appreciate you.
Well, I
well, you know, we're talking about single and satisfied, but you, we know you are married. So, you know, when you were looking for your wife, when you were looking for your wife, what were some of those things, those qualities that you looked for in a woman?
A good credit score, and to make sure that she had her feet planted firmly, that she was looking to start a family.
Was your credit
that,
score
in
high?
That, in that order. What's that?
Score
what,
high?
At the time, yes. But I was looking for someone that could make it even higher. I was looking for after, see, I don't know what it's like to be single. I was married 15 years to the first wife. I was single for less than 30 days before marrying a second wife, and we just had our 27th anniversary. And so I don't know what it's like to be single. As a matter of fact, I was so lonesome after the first one, I probably would have married a dog if they just said they liked me. Can you like it? I got to keep it real, ladies. I'm going to keep it real.
You'll be in trouble.
But you know, the thing is, I was honest with the second one and the second one's parents, and was able to explain to her that at that time we hadn't had a chance to learn each other and really fall in love, and I didn't love her. I needed a business arrangement, and so did she, and so did her father. When I went to ask for her hand, when I told him that I would learn to love her, and I would never put my hands on her, and I would give him grandchildren. He said, "You're the first one out of all four of my daughters. You're the first one that's ever come here and been honest, you know, because I want my daughter to have a stable home and a financial foot that she won't be slipping and sliding on all the time." So he appreciated me letting him know that I would both knew that we were not in love. We knew that we had to get our finances in order and unite on our goals, our 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. We needed to talk about business. And so that's how we fell in love, because we both needed stability. She had a situation where she came out of that ended up in instability, and so did I. I didn't leave my first wife because she didn't have anything. I left her because she didn't want anything.
Wow.
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 And I could keep it real, you know. And so I learned from you ladies when you talk about being single, and I listen to the struggles, so, because it must be a struggle. I know a lot of single women that are professional women. And sometimes I feel like they're lonesome, and I understand about the escort thing, that, you know, they want to be escorted and not always around the girls. You know, I understand that, you know, but it goes back to the 70% rule. Remember, if you got somebody that's 70% right, 70 to 80%, if they're 70 to 80% on the right side of things, you can work with them.
Hmm. Wow.
Nobody's
okay.
Going to be.
You know, when you first.
My wife. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I want to ask Captain Mark something about that 70-80% right, and you can work with them. You know, but we've got a lot of people that are single, and they're pushing for that 100%. Now, I would like you to expound on that a little bit more, because when you talk about 70% right and we can work out the rest, and you're a man who, as you said, never been single, really, except for, you know,
no.
Growing up and everything. But once you got into marriage, you knew that you wanted to be married and you loved the married life. So like you said, you married again in 30 days, and now you got 27 years under your belt because you have someone you can work with. And it's really interesting to know that you came forward with your complete agenda, said, "This is me, this is who I am, this is what I want, and can you work with that? And if you can, we can work together, and we can fall in love later." But you started out on a mutual ground, and you built on that because you both knew up front that this ain't got nothing to do with anything else, but we're going to build from here, but we're going to build together. And then when you threw in there that 70%, and then you can work out the rest of it, because I don't think there's any relationship that's 100% that you have to build. And honestly, you're one of the first men that I've heard say that 70%.
Well, I know that there has been more than one or two occasions where we wanted to walk away from each other, but we both have sat down and laughed about it. I couldn't live the lifestyle that I've lived today without her income, and she couldn't live the lifestyle she lives today without my income, and that's a fact. And sometimes we have two-part company. I have a very unique situation, I guess, you know, in that I'm a ship's captain and I'm gone much of the summer. She's a school teacher. She's home all summer long in the garden and in the backyard. And I couldn't stand gardening and backyard stuff. I couldn't deal with it, you know. And in the winter, I'm home and I know that she's gone most of the time taking classes or teaching school. So I have the house to myself most of the time, even though I've taken the garage and turned it into my man cave. I spend a majority of my time there. So if she wants to kick me out, I can leave, and I'm still not that far from home. The thing is that we realize that neither one of us is perfect, and we have different interests, and we have some things that are common interests. But the things that she's interested in exercising, going to the gymnasium and hanging out with folks, and the things that I'm interested in are totally opposite. I love community service, and I belong to a lot of different community service groups. And I go to self-help meetings, and I love Tony Robbins and Les Brown. And I go to a whole lot of these seminars and things. And we think much differently, but we have our moments and our times when we come together. So the only rule that we have is you leave the garbage outside the bedroom door. Leave it outside the bedroom door. Let's enjoy each other. You know, when we're in the bedroom, we're able to watch our sitcoms together. We love King of Queens and a couple of other television shows that we won't miss. We'll make sure that we're together every Friday and every Sunday going to the movies. You know, they have some special price movies night. Over by our house. Yeah, I guess that's what you call it. We look forward to it, and we promise each other to home or to that moment, you won't bring anything from school, and I won't bring anything from the boat. I don't care what's happening in your classroom, actually. And you shouldn't care what's happening on my boat. I deal mostly with women in bikinis. But that's my wife. I know I'm coming home. So she's not interested in water. She won't even come in and stay overnight with me on the boat. I'm gone most of the time. So even though we have our differences, she could probably murder me for 30% of the things that I do. And vice versa, I could just get rid of her. But the 70% is so good, boy, oh boy. The 70% is so good that I've never had to worry about not having a wife.
Well, one of the things I heard you say, one of the things I'm hearing you say is committed. You see, when you said that when you went to your wife's father to ask her hand, you weren't in love, but you were ready to be committed to the relationship, committed to the marriage, and you had a plan. And that, I think, is a huge thing that's lacking in relationships now, why marriages can't go forward, because there have been no commitment and there is no communication. You know, some men and some women, depending on the situation, they will hold back how they really feel and what they think for fear of that person not accepting them. But they can only be a chameleon, but for so long, it's going to come out. And you got to be transparent and communicating what is real, what is true. And I think that's lacking in a relationship. Just with me and my husband, I just got married in August. And, you know, while we were dating and all through the engagement, I was totally naked before him, not literally, but naked, where I told him all my fears. I told him the things I desired and wanted, and I was trusting that he wouldn't take it and use it as a weapon against me. My first husband, everything I told him, he used it as a weapon, and I found myself crawling back within myself and operating and walking in fear, and I wasn't able to be me. So therefore, I shut 10 years being in that marriage because of the fear of what he may do, the fear of exposure, and the domestic violence situation. So I was in prison and in the inner prison. So, you know, I'm glad that you're speaking from your perspective from a man, because we got a lot of ladies listening in here. And, you know, they're wanting to be that person to be 100%. But I can say as a woman, and I'm going to speak for some of the women on the phone, on the show, is that they don't want to be transparent. They want their flaws to stay hidden behind the makeup. Now, Shimona, you're on the, just so you can chime in, and Shirley, you can chime in as well. But Captain Mark, go ahead.
I'm just going to say a couple more quick points. That one is that I went biblical with my wife from the very beginning, and I told her we need to really, really understand that God has put the man as the head of the house. And I told her, I want you to know I'll make all the major decisions here. You're my wife, and I'll let you make all the minor decisions. And but everything major that we're going to do, I'm going to decide. It's just that after 27 years, nothing major has come up yet. When it does, I'm going to be ready to make that decision. I promise you. You know, and I can tell you, is the last thing I'll say is this about the money. I used to say, well, look, give me your check. I'm the man. I'm going to pay the bills. I'm going to see that we're okay. I'm disciplined. I know how to save and this, that, and the other. And I was being very demanding about it, all up to the point that the lights were being turned off, that the cable TV was being shut off. I couldn't keep up with the phone bill. Oh, my God. It was so crazy. When she asked me, where's the money? I couldn't show her anything but a pocket full of receipts, a bag full of papers. And so let me tell you how I do it now. I turn every penny over to my wife. Absolutely every penny. She puts stuff on spreadsheets. She pays the bills. She takes care of all the savings, and I get an allowance. And my only rule is you must have my allowance in cash on my dresser every 2 weeks, in cash on my dresser without me having to ask. And I want to always have a pint of black walnut ice cream in the refrigerator, or I will tear this mother up.
You got a nice arrangement there.
Damn right. If you see that it's only one scoop of ice cream left in the carton, you better not touch it. It belongs to me. You know, and since then, I've had total peace about the money. And she hasn't ripped me off yet. She probably is not going to.
At 27 years, I don't think so.
Right, I can trust her with the money. We have money problems like any other family when we want to buy new things and all. But, you know, the whole thing is I had to give up trying to be in control, and she had to give up trying to make me be in control. So, ladies, stop it. Stop trying to make us feel so much. Stop it. You're expecting so much of us as men, as leaders, and then when the going gets tough, you want to step back on the girly side of the line and say, well, you're supposed to be the man. You're supposed to have the answer. You're supposed to be the solution person. But it's not true. We need you.
Wow.
We need you very badly. So, you know, step up.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all that I have. I'm so sorry for going on and on, but I just love you, ladies, so much.
Well, I appreciate it because I wanted to hear from a man's perspective.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're speaking, you've been married twice. This is your second marriage, and it's an extensive one, and you lay down how you went into it. And like I said, a lot of women, their expectations are so high. They're looking for Prince Charming on a white horse, and Prince Charming may be like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? This, you know, I'm attracted to you, you know, and I think, you know, we could, you know, get this marriage going on the road. And here's my views, and what are yours? And see, that's the thing. A lot of women don't communicate their views, even political things. I think you should communicate politically how you feel about things, because, you know, when it comes down to political issues, it can cause a divorce too.
Yes,
yeah,
that's true.
That is true. My wife and I have committed to never discussing politics in the bedroom, because I'm a staunch Republican, always have been, and she's a staunch Democrat. And with this last major election passing up, you could imagine the types of conversations that could have happened in my house in the conflicts. But we won't talk about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or any of the rest of them. We're not going to talk about that. What we're going to talk about is, we only have a few minutes left to this day. Let's make love.
That sounds interesting, but since y'all won't talk about it, I will. I know y'all miss President Obama. I know you miss my president.
You would say,
I know all you Republicans miss my president.
I know that's right.
Every last one of you.
You're right about that.
Believe you me.
Now, you know what, Captain Mark? You know, Captain Mark, I have to say, I truly enjoy when you come, when you join us on the show. And what you have said tonight is with something that I read a couple of days ago, that, you know, you taught your wife something. And tonight, believe it or not, you taught all of us something that was listening to what you had to say. And I want to say this as a woman. We as women need to value the men that teach us something more so than the men that buy us something. Because in this generation and what's going on, a lot of women are gravitating to that man who's going to buy them something and missing out on the most important thing in life. If you get a man that can teach you something, value him, as opposed to that one that can buy you something. Because that anybody can buy you something, but a lesson learned and something that you're taught is priceless. You can't put a price tag on it.
Amen.
We have got to get back to that. And I thank you, Captain Mark, for bringing that to the forefront. You, as a man, I added up your years, 42 years of marriage under your belt. And
oh,
how you
goodness.
Did it, and how you was able to walk away when you saw that I have a goal and I have a dream. If this person is not willing to walk that path with me, I got to let go. And then you found someone who was. And like you said, you're opposite like day and night, but when that two come together, what a beautiful thing it is. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now,
thank you.
Thank you so much, Captain Mark. Now, Mona, you've listened to what Captain Mark said. In your dating experience, let me ask you, if someone like him came your way, would you engage in a conversation with them, or would you totally disconnect and blow them off?
I would engage in the conversation. I would. Now, I don't know if him and his the young lady at the time when they were dating, did he tell her that he needed her credit? I don't know if he was that direct. So we probably would have had a conversation about that piece. and, you know, what we both had to offer each other. And because, you know what, most people that I've dated, I've always been the helper. So I can always see that nurturing, and it goes back, I guess, from, you know, raising your son, or and then you carry that nurturing, because everyone I dated, I've always had to help them. And I've always, you know, that piece. So then when I finally said, you know, I deserve someone that can meet me halfway, I kind of shift how I looked at individuals. No, they don't have to have perfect credit. But we have to both want something and going somewhere. You don't have to be at that place mm-hmm. already. But you have to, as Captain said, you know, you have to want more.
Mhm.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, when I got married, me nor my husband's credit was straight because of the fact that we're still trying to build back from the recession that we were in two presidents ago, Captain Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But but one of the things we committed to do was, before we got married, we paid off things, cleaned it up so that we have things, both of us, that we're managing now. And since we've gotten married, have paid off. So, you know, you don't have to have perfect credit. But and one of the things we discussed is, okay, now whose credit is stronger, or who has less to clean up, that we can work on it together, and then we'll clean the other one up. But it's communication, and it's, you know, agreeing and being committed to the one goal for the sake of the marriage, for the sake of the relationship staying leveled and not going on high and low ground where you get disconnected, and you get so far disconnected to, you know, one starts staying out and doing different things, and then the communication stops, and then you stop giving of yourselves one to another, then you stop cooking and cleaning, and you stop opening doors and all these type of situations, because there has not been a clear understanding and a commitment to the relationship.
Right. That's true.
I have another caller, 7512, you're live.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Brent Dardis.
Hi, how are you?
Valerie, you remember I walked you out to the door, I always open the doors for you, kiss your hand with your nicest dress.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So one thing that I heard that you all were talking about was how most men always look to give a woman something instead of teach a woman something. I want you all, mm-hmm. I want the women on the line to actually elaborate on that, because me as a young man, I'm highly into education and I love to share knowledge more than anything. But most women that I come across, when it comes to that point, they find that unattractive or boring, and they still seek the other thing, whether it's sex or rather it's material. So where is the balance in that?
Okay, Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Where is the balance in it? I don't think there's a balance in it. Because one of the things is that, you know, one of the first thing you're going to see when you meet someone and everything, it's a physical attraction. So are you really seeking it, or are you reacting to it? That would, I would think, would be more the question. Are you going to follow on your first instinct, first encounter, or are you going to look beyond that? So I would not look at it as a balance in it. It's about a choice.
Captain Mark, are you there?
I'm sorry, I was muted. What was the question?
Could you ask the question again? Because I think
you can, Captain Mark, that you will be better equipped to respond to this since you laid down the rule of how you did this courtship thing.
Okay.
So the question was, I said, me as a young man, I love sharing knowledge, but most women that I come across, they find that boring, and they tend to seek sex or the material side more than receiving enlightenment. I said, where do you find the, how do you find the balance in that? And what I mean, let me elaborate, what I mean by balance is I can see how a woman can get overwhelmed if that's all you're doing. And also some women do like to be pleased, like a show of worth and materialistic more than others. So like, how do you measure it or balance?
It's quite simple. You're still a little bit younger than me, so I'll just tell you point blank. There's only two type of women, son. The kind that you take home to meet mama and the kind that you don't. Search for the kind that you can take home and meet, introduce to your mother. If you can't, if you have a woman that you cannot introduce to your mother, but you're still attracted to her, get her nails done, get her hair done, have your way with her, and move on.
Well put. Well,
I don't know if I quite wanted you to explain it that way.
I'm keeping it real because life is short. Life is short, and most of them only want you to get their nails done, get their hair done, or take them to buy an outfit or something like that. And you know, as the young man said, they're not interested in sitting down and talking about knowledge-based conversation. They're not interested in that, and they look at you like you're weird. And so why waste your energy and
intelligence?
You know, if you want to keep casting your pearls before swine and keep doing it, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a waste of time, absolute waste of time, because the fact is that if you're financially capable, you can do what you want and be in and out of a situation in 30 minutes anyway, keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Okay.
Well, I think that if you're out and you're looking for that special lady, go to those places that you like going to, because if she's there, it's because she likes going there too. If you like and to be intellectual, then, you know, I know that you're into motivation and seminars and workshops, just like Captain Mark said. He is, you know, if you want somebody to stimulate you mentally, go to venues where those ladies are, and then you can communicate with them and, you know, strike up a conversation. You may not, you know, fall head over heels, but like Captain Mark said, he liked his wife, but he wasn't in love with her at the time. But if you have a common goal where you're both going somewhere and you both want something and you think it's a possibility that you can love her and she can love you back, because women fall in love quicker than men because we're emotional beings. We'll fall hook, line, and sinker before a man does. It's just trying to get that, it's just, you know, most of the time the women are saying, you know, they want their man to be more affectionate, et cetera, and they feel that they're not because they don't love him. You know, so you got that tug of war going on. But what I've said and I've said to individuals is when you meet that person, you will know it. You will both know it. It won't be lopsided. You will both know it instantaneously at the same time, I believe.
But you know what, Val?
Mona?
I found out.
Yes.
I actually found out that the best women you can, if you're looking for a keeper, you don't go to a club, a lounge, or a church.
Right.
You don't find the keepers in clubs, lounges, and churches. The best ones you're going to find in one of these three places: zoos, museums, or libraries. There are plenty of beautiful, lonesome women, zoos, museums, and libraries. They're absolutely
beautiful. I don't like the way you be putting things, Captain Mark.
That's where you find
a lot
people.
Of lonely women in these places.
There's an awful lot. If you don't believe me, go there yourself. You'll see them walking by themselves. They're not even with their friends. They're not with their girlfriends. They're walking by themselves. They're lonesome. Museum. That's where I found my wife, in the library.
Okay.
That was my next question.
But don't go to church and don't go to the clubs. You'll get the sour ones.
No, that was my next question. As far as where the ones that are on the line that are married, where was the meeting ground that when you first met each other, where you were attracted? And then the next question would be, when did you know that was the one?
Well,
there's only one on the line that's married.
Well, Shirley, you were married four times, so.
Right. I mean, with my situation, I can count, but each one of mine was a different. It, you know, believe it or not, each time was different. Married four times to three men, and each one was different. First one, I didn't know he was the one. I was young. My parents had died, and it was more like a rescue from the situation that I was in, support. The second one, I thought he was my soulmate, and did I know he was the one when I first met him? No, I didn't even like him. Didn't even want to be bothered with it, but he pursued me. And that one I married twice. And then the other one, the third marriage, was more of a situation of where I married someone, I vowed not to raise my two younger son alone, that I wanted that cohesive family setting. And I met someone, and he demonstrated to me that family unity more so through his family. I was focused more on how his family shared everything together and all of that. And I said, wow, this is really nice. This is what I'm used to when I was growing up, that family setting, big family. But I didn't keep my eye on the man enough to see that there was something missing. That connection was disconnected, but the mass. And as I got into it, saw that they were all wearing masks. So I never knew that. I never experienced that with, oh, this is the one in those marriages. I have to say that. And we've got people on the line that are listening, and I have a person ask this question. What about the women who has everything but just want the man to be into her, wine and dine her, just invest in each other and not so much as material things, but quality time? So they're used to, you know, they're tired of the fake relationship. And that question was proposed to me. And my, you know, I like to say to Captain Mark, you are the man on here. What do you think about those women who just want someone with quality time? And my thing to them is that fake relationship, we have to be careful when we say fake relationship. Because sometimes people get together for a reason and a season and not a lifetime. And during that reason and season, that somewhere in that relationship we should learn something from that person. But sometimes we as women, we find ourselves, and even I'm finding more so men too, not knowing when to let go. And not to take out of it what we learned and what was given, what that purpose of that relationship was. Because a lot of time we get into these relationships and they're one-sided. And that's why I commend you, Captain Mark, for what you said about how you came to yours straight up, like I say, straight no chase. This is what it is. This is what you get. This is who I am. And this is what I'm looking for. Do you have it? There are so many people out there are not willing to step forward like that. They come with a mask on. And that's what I was talking about with my third marriage, that the whole family was wearing masks. But I didn't see that until the mask start to come down. And then I start to step back saying, oh, my God. So in relationships, I say there, I truly believe there's some are for a season and some are for a reason and some are for a lifetime. And in saying that, getting through that, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and accepting what we learn from that, it takes a lot within ourselves to find out who we are, to be able to receive that and accept that. And when you go forward into any other relationship, make sure you know who you are. And that's something that you said, Captain Mark. You knew who you were. You knew what you wanted, and you went for it. When a person learns who they are, who they belong to, and what they want, and not settle for anything less, not saying that you won't be able to bend or work with anyone, but at least you put it out there 100%. This is me. This is who I am. Can we do this? And if we
can't, the key is not settling. Not settling,
yeah.
Just because you can't settle. Life is too short and very unpredictable, because if you settle and you find yourself in a situation and say something person that you've allowed into your life space, then you'll feel, if you want to exit the relationship, then you'll feel guilty because you're like, okay, you're leaving because of their infractions. So, you know, you just can't settle. You got to know that you know that. And like I said, when that time is right and when that person is right, you'll both know it, because you'll know that it's somebody that you can work with.
Okay. Well put. Okay, and I like that, how ladies just said, you were young, you didn't have your parents, and that the gentleman kept pursuing and you married him twice.
Right.
To be clear, like, I'm 25 years old. So what I found when I was back in Kansas and Chicago, that's where I'm originally from, when you're in the workplace nowadays, as far as my generation, the 90 babies and up, they play that pursue game. They want a man to pursue them. And when they pursue them and they end up going for that, they end up not being what they really look for. And then when I asked the one woman, I said, does a man really have to pursue you? When it comes to you actually knowing what you want, when you see somebody, do you go to them or you have to wait till them come to you? And most women, 8 out of 10, will say, well, if I see something I like, I go to them. They don't have to pursue me. So me, at my state that I'm in, and the knowledge and wisdom I have, which I'm raised under a lot of older folks, my father's 79 years old, mom 52, I'm the youngest of 11 siblings. So I've seen a lot of broken homes and successes and relationships. And the topic being single and satisfied, because of the past relationships I've been through, I'm single. I'm not satisfied, but I also don't look for a completion within another partner. So I would like to live the law of attraction. So from a woman's point of view, that's in your situation, how can I ask this question? How does the attraction really work for you when it comes to a man in the pursuit game now that you're older and you've been through things? Would you rather go to the man and find out if he's going to unmask himself, or would you rather a man come to you and unmask himself?
I would rather, it depends. And the reason why I say it depends, because it depends on the whole situation, the whole setting. And I'm in a relationship now, but I'm not married. But I was very direct and straight on where I'm at in my life and what my goals are. And I put everything on the table. And the same thing I asked of him, where are you at? Where do you see yourself a year from now, 2 years, 5 years? What is your goal? And this is who I am, this is where I've been, and this is where I'm planning on going. I'm not there yet, but this is where I'm going. Now, if you want to go with me and you think you can ride with me, we can do this, then we can have this relationship. Otherwise, I could be happy by myself.
Okay.
Mona?
I agree with that.
Yes.
Mona, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm looking at the young man because my son is 25, and it's not funny, but I was gonna say it's funny to see how the young men of today, you know what they want, and as a mother, we always say, well, we don't want you to get so serious so fast, you know, weigh your options, you know, you can go out and date. Different women, you don't have to sleep with them, but get to know them and, you know, just have your options. But my son ended up dating a young lady that he worked with, like the example that you used, and they were, like, totally opposite. And I was like, okay, you guys really don't have anything in common. But it was the thing, like Captain said, I believe that they grew to love each other. They were just friends and working together, and they grew to love each other. So for me, it's just like she said, I'm dating someone. It was somebody that I met back in college. We dated, and at the time, we just graduated and went our separate ways. But every 5 years, I guess you would call that the pursuit. But it was basically like, I'm checking in to see how you're doing, and we lose contact, and he finds me somehow. Here we are. I'm 47. He's 50, and we connected back again, and now seeking the relationship piece, the long-distance relationship. But the pursuit didn't matter either way. The pursuit portion didn't matter either way to me. It was the connection, and just the fact of knowing that we can go and grow together from where we are. And that was basically it.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying with the pursuit or not the pursuit.
Awesome. You know, we always run out of time when we got these good relationship shows like this. So with any closing remarks, but I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Hot Topics from the Soul. And then tune in next week, and we'll continue on relationships. We went through February just talking with couples. So now I guess it's the singles time, and I thank all of you for tuning in. And any closing comments, Mona and Shirley?
I just want to say to all our listeners and all everyone that's on tonight that helps support us in this is that we have a lot of people out there that are searching and for that special someone. Know that every relationship has a lesson to be learned in it.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You step forward in your relationship, whoever you meet and whoever you may connect with. But the most important relationship is know who you belong to and get to know yourself so you can bring yourself to the table, not your representative.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. We're off the air in 60 seconds, but I want to thank my guests and all those that chimed in with their questions and their comments, and tune in next Tuesday for another Hot Topics from the Soul. If this show has been a blessing to you, you can download it, go to the website and download it, follow me on Facebook and Twitter and send it out, and we will continue next week. I know a lot of people had their hands up. They wanted to chime in, so we can continue next week to give you that opportunity. Thank you once again for being my special guest. Good night and God bless.
Good night.
God bless. Good night. Good night.